the Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 4th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. The U.S. Postal Service says it is hiring 28,000 seasonal employees ahead of the surge in the end-of-the-year holiday letters and packages.
The Postal Service has also added almost 250 new processing machines. Rick Ruiz, president of California Local 4635 of the American Postal Workers Union, says the union wants more people hired as postal support employees with government benefits.
They come in at about $19 an hour, but the goal is at the end of the 2 years, you're a career employee with your 401k, your health benefits, retirement, life insurance, and all the benefits that you need as a working person out here in order to buy that house, buy that car, have that vacation.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
If you want to apply for a Postal Service job, you can start online at usps.com/hiring. Although Amtrak's Acela cuts travel time to 3 hours between Washington, D.C. and New York, a proposed high-speed rail could reduce it to an hour. We get more from Edwin J. Vieira for Soundbite Source.
Northeast Maglev is a conceptual high-speed rail line using magnetic levitation technology, which has less air resistance than regular trains. The first phase of the project will be a shorter section of the line between Washington and Baltimore, mostly underground. Ian Rainey with Northeast Maglev shed some light on how this stretch of line was chosen for phase one.
If you look at the Northeast Corridor, although some people don't realize it, some of the worst congestion, not just in the Northeast Corridor, but in the entire United States, is in that Baltimore-Washington segment. And our target market really is auto travelers. We want to get people out of cars and onto the maglev.
The project will cost upwards of $10 billion, according to Rainey, since maglev trains run on a guide instead of standard rails. He adds some funding will come from grants through a federal program called the Magnetic Levitation Deployment Grants Program. Other sources of funding will be from Japan, which has implemented high-speed rail on its own national railway system. Although this project is in the environmental planning stage, Rainey hopes the first section of the system will be up and running in the coming decade.
Groups that fight hunger in California say untold suffering could be avoided if the policies championed in the latest White House conference are put into place. The event was the first of its kind in 50 years, bringing together government agencies, nonprofits, and private companies, with the goal of wiping out hunger in the U.S. by the year 2030. It's all Gutierrez is with the California Association of Food Banks.
We were very excited to see you raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour and also expanding earned income tax credit in addition to the child tax credit and also investments in housing and rental assistance.
This is PNS. Now from the New York Times, 2 days after Election Day 2020, Stuart Rhodes, a leader of the Oath Keepers militia, sent an urgent encrypted message to high-ranking members of his group, telling them to resist allowing President Biden to enter the White House. "We aren't going to get through this without a civil war," he wrote. The Times reports in an opening statement in the trial of Rhodes and four other members of the Oath Keepers on charges of seditious conspiracy, federal prosecutors said Monday the message was an early step in a broad effort to stop the transfer of presidential power and to use the mightily far-right militia to keep President Donald Trump in office. And a new study says that gas flaring in oil-producing states like North Dakota is not as effective in limiting harmful emissions when compared to long-standing estimates.
Flaring involves burning off excess natural gas that accumulates during oil extraction. The emission in question, methane, has been found to be a more powerful pollutant than carbon dioxide. The industry has long worked under the assumption that flaring at oil and gas fields is 98% effective at reducing methane. But the new study says the rate is actually closer to 91%. Linda Weiss with the Dakota Resource Council lives near the Bakken oil fields. She says it confirms many of her fears.
You can't see most of these gases, and you don't know what long-term effects they'll have on the human body.
Health experts have said long-term exposure can result in a range of health problems, including heart and breathing issues. And environmental groups say methane is a huge driver of climate change. State officials argue that infrastructure upgrades have led to a smaller percentage of gas being flared in North Dakota. I'm Mike Bowen.
Finally, our Eric Tadoff reports that community and technical college faculty members are preparing for the legislative session in Olympia.
Among the top priorities for the American Federation of Teachers of Washington is pay parity between adjunct or contingent professors and their full-time peers. Jackie Kane is contingent faculty at Pierce College and a member of AFT Washington. She says some colleges are doing better on pay, but at others, adjunct professors make about half what full-time faculty makes, doing the same work.
We are having a hard time keeping contingent faculty in the workforce, and one of the number one reasons I hear is the fact that these jobs are not sustainable. A lot of the faculty start out doing this for a few years with the idea that it's going to result in full-time work. For many people, that just doesn't happen.
Kane says because adjunct teaching jobs are low paid, it can also hurt diversity in the profession.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on radio stations big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.